current state on 90.5 WKAR. We are Mid-Michigan's meeting place for the informed, the caring, and the curious. Thank you for joining us. When 2014 comes to a close, so too will an era in Michigan's judicial system. On New Year's Day, Justice Michael Kavanaugh will retire after 32 years on the Michigan Supreme Court. Only one other person in history has ever served longer on the state's highest court, and not by much longer. Current state's Kevin Lavery sat down with Justice Kavanaugh for an exit interview recently. Kevin, just curious, who was the other long-serving justice?
Mark, that would be James Campbell. He was a 19th century Michigan Supreme Court justice. He served for 32 years, 2 months, 25 days, so just under 3 months longer than Michael Kavanaugh. Who's counting, though? In modern times, it's Mr. Kavanaugh. Mr. Kavanaugh spent 4 years as the court's chief justice. He served in private practice. He was once the Lansing city attorney. He even spent some time working on freighters on the Great Lakes. And as we chatted in his office surrounded by paintings of those big boats, I asked him to reflect on more than three decades on the state's highest court.
Well, it's been a very rewarding 32 years on this court. I've served with 21 other justices, all unique, talented men and women from a lot of different backgrounds. And I've enjoyed it immensely over these years. I was 8 years on the Court of Appeals prior to that, and then served on the Lansing District Bench at the beginning. So all told, you look over your shoulder and it's hard to believe, but it's been 42 years since I left the private practice to come on the bench.
What are some cases that you can recall that you feel have really shaped the direction of our society here in Michigan? I'm thinking just the last 10 years alone, we've had some very impactful cases like affirmative action for university admissions, juvenile life sentences. What are some things that stand out in your mind?
Well, those are two that you mentioned. As I've gone through a series of interviews this last month as I'm winding down, one of my law clerks and an intern put themselves to the task of putting together a catalog of all the cases I sat on while on this court. And I've got it right there. There are 2,005 cases. So it's really tough to figure out which ones are the most significant. Many of them are very significant. I recognize the names on some of them as I thumb through that catalog, but I wrote a unanimous opinion for the court the first year I was on here in 1983 that kind of established the precedent for appellate review of criminal sentencing. And subsequent to that decision, the court enacted judicial sentencing guidelines, and that was followed by the legislature enacting sentencing guidelines, so that today it's just taken as an accepted matter of fact that a sentence is subject to review just like any other issue on appeal. So that had a widespread impact. There were cases that drew a great deal of notoriety and media coverage. The baby Jessica matter was very significant. A couple from Ann Arbor wished to adopt a young baby girl that a less affluent couple from Iowa had. There was a question whether the Iowa couple had their parental rights terminated. If they didn't, then the adoption here, of course, couldn't go forward. And it turned out the court ultimately discovered that there, in fact, had been no formal termination taking place in Iowa. But the courtroom was packed. The media covered it for a long time. I guess it was viewed as a great human interest story. That was one of the many cases we heard. You know, thumbing through that catalog, I've run across, there are a number of major tax cases that this court has heard that I probably have subconsciously buried in my memory for not wishing to traverse that ground again. But any number of significant cases.
For many years, you have been very deeply involved with tribal courts. We have 12 federally recognized tribes in Michigan, and of course, those tribes are each recognized by our federal government as having their own sovereignty. They have their own legal system, but I imagine it's not always been a smooth path in terms of meshing their jurisdiction and authority with our state courts. What are some of the problems that you encountered along those lines when you first started working with the tribes, and where have we come to now?
Well, back in 1992, when I was Chief Justice, we convened a tribal state court forum comprised of tribal court judges and state court judges. And it was the first real meaningful meeting of the two systems. But as I've attended conferences around the United States dealing with tribal matters, I'm always struck at how far ahead, really, Michigan is in comparison with tribal-state relations in so many other states, particularly the western states. And I attribute that to the fact that when we started interacting with the tribes and the tribal courts, we did not have 100 or 150 years of bitter land disputes and wars. In these past 20 years, I've learned so much from tribal courts and their system, which is contrary to our legal system. The underpinnings of it are described as restorative justice as opposed to our adversarial system, where there's got to be a winner and has to be a loser. The tribal courts, by and large, are a little less formal. They're not strictly constrained with court rules and procedure that we labor through. And it's their effort to bring everybody into a problem or dispute and determine how are they going to resolve it. They don't have to go through a lot of the laborious steps to call a witness and bring a witness in. So I think we have a lot to benefit from that.
We're talking with Justice Michael Kavanaugh, who is retiring from the Michigan Supreme Court after 32 years on the bench on January 1st. Michigan has an interesting method of nominating judges. You are a Democrat, but people have cast their votes for you on a nonpartisan ballot. Still, I am wondering if you think citizens tend to brand judges a certain way. Well, he's a conservative, or she's a liberal or an activist. And do they develop certain expectations about the way you'll make your decisions? And how does that mesh with your own conscience?
Well, you make a good point. I'm sure they do. The voters who are informed, you know, attribute a philosophy to a judicial candidate, a party background, if there is one. And I think that's a very tough part of a judge's role, is to, first of all, identify and be aware of your own inclinations, biases, and put those aside and rule on the case as the law is written. But, you know, you can't divorce judges from their background and where they come from. I happen to come from a family that my mother was a school teacher and my father was a factory worker at Ford's. They both immigrated here from Canada around 1910. And so I grew up in that kind of family where, as an Irish Catholic family, we had two pictures in our hallway I remember growing up. One was of Pope Pius XII and the other was of Walter Reuther. And my brother was involved in Democratic politics. And so you develop a philosophy. But again, as I say, the tough part, I think, of being a good judge is identifying that philosophy and saying, whoops, that doesn't fit in this particular case.
Should the law be flexible to change with the times? Social norms and attitudes change over time. Should the law bend? And to ask you how far would be to make a judgment call, and I know it's different case by case, but does it bend? Should it bend?
I think it does, and it does slowly, I think. The legislature reacts to different court decisions, and oftentimes that prompts them to change the law, as it should be. But, you know, if we're doing our job correctly here at the Supreme Court level, the cases we select are awfully gray cases where very good legal arguments can be made both ways. And when you consider the process, how it gets to our desk, the legislature, their efforts are the product of a lot of compromise, where each side of the aisle at the conclusion can say, okay, I think that says kind of what I want it to say, and then they vote for it. So then it winds up, I'm sure the results that were hashed out are going to wind up here in our court in the coming year. So there are pros and cons that can go back and forth, very good arguments. So,
right, because later you and your colleagues have to sometimes interpret what you think the lawmakers meant. And I wonder if lawmakers ever come back after a decision and say, no, Justice Kavanaugh, that's not what we intended at all. You got it wrong.
Yes, they do. And that has happened.
We're talking with Justice Michael Kavanaugh. How have you left the Michigan Supreme Court a better place than you found it? Does it function better for we the people here in Michigan? Have the outcomes that you have helped shape over the years given us a better quality of life?
Well, of course, I'm going to say yes. But I hope I have. I've given it my best effort over these 32 years. And the court we have now is very strong. They're functioning extremely well together. They're prepared. They're very bright men and women. It's been a real challenge to keep up with them, not just for the fact that probably a majority of them could much more be described as techies than I am.
But you're the oracle, though.
I would like to think so, but I'm still plugging away as the dinosaur trying to keep up with all the technology, and I'm afraid I've got a long way to go. I know that I noticed I went to, when I leave here, I'm going to be of counsel with a local law firm that was started 7 years ago by two of my former law clerks, Natalie Elaine and Mary Chartier. And I noticed when they were showing me my future space the other week that there were no law books on the wall. And I inquired about that, and they said, you know, we moved in here about 3 years ago, and we had to decide, were we going to move all those law books over here or not? And they opted against doing that. I mean, they're paperless, so I'm going to have to get with the program, I'm pretty sure.
I'm looking at this beautiful assortment of law books right behind you, matter of fact. It's very classic, and maybe it's a little bit behind the times, perhaps?
I think so. It's hard to imagine not having them there. It's progress. You see it today, and everything is instantaneously at our fingertips. I look at my grandchildren on their computers and those games, and it's mind-boggling. On the first floor here of our Hall of Justice, we have the Learning Center, which has all kinds of hands-on exhibits teaching school children about the court system. And we put through about 12,000 school children a year through that learning center. And it's amazing to watch them down there going through these computerized exhibits. I've long since learned to not try and answer some of the questions they're asked for fear that the buzzer will go off saying you're wrong.
Your successor, Richard Bernstein, comes from a very prominent legal family from the Detroit area. He'll be coming into the court in January. Advice for him on succeeding in this job?
I guess, of course, I would advise him to do his level best, to think his positions through, and to rely on the collective wisdom of his colleagues. Whenever he is able to, because it's of great assistance. There is a certain synergy in interacting with your colleagues, in either reinforcing your agreement with their views or conversely reinforcing your disagreement with their views. But it's a real cooperative effort.
Any Christmas plans? You going to catch a freighter to Marquette, maybe?
No, I have to figure out, as you can see, I have adorned my office with pictures of lighthouses and freighters because I date back to my college days when I worked on Great Lakes freighters as a coal passer, shoveling coal. And I am going to have to figure out where to stash all these accoutrements that are hanging on the walls. I'm sure I'll find some spot, but that's going to occupy my time probably for the next 2 weeks solid, just trying to figure out where to put all these pictures and plaques and things I've accumulated over 32 years. So that'll keep me busy through Christmas and up to New Year's.
Well, maybe your grandkids will enjoy Grandpa's pictures.
I think so. I will divvy them up amongst the grandkids and my three children, and I don't think my wife wants any of them at the house.
Good to know that now, right?
It certainly is.
Justice Michael Kavanaugh of the Michigan Supreme Court is retiring on January 1st after 32 years on the High Court. Justice Kavanaugh, it has been really a pleasure talking with you. Good luck to you, sir. Great retirement. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Kevin, and the same to you. I've enjoyed visiting with you, and I hope to continue listening to you for a long time.
Thank you, sir. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.